You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good cause it ain't
over. Right before I die, I gotta... Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Hey, and I want to add a little two-letter word on now faith and go as far as saying now faith is. Somebody say now faith is.
Now
this word is a powerful word. Oh, glory to God. This word is IS. It means state of existence. Look at your neighbor and say state of existence. It's talking about the state that you exist in. Let me set an example for you. I'm a dad. Amen. I'm a husband. I'm a businessman. Oh, glory to God. I'm a preacher of the gospel. That's the state that I exist in. Oh, glory to God. And so I want to ask you this afternoon, what is the state of your faith? Look at your neighbor and say, what is the state of your faith?
What is the state of your faith?
Because we're walking around, there's so much, let me say this, there's so much fear in this nation. I'm wondering if God is going to have to call a state of emergency. Yes. Tell somebody, state of emergency. State of emergency. Now, you may say, well, what is a state of emergency? Because let me say this, that the government can declare a state of crisis or a state of emergency if there's a civil unrest of any kind, armed conflict, pandemics, or epidemic. Yes. I can't read my own writing. Sorry about that. And so if there's a crisis, come on somebody. If there's a crisis, then the government has the ability to enact a state of emergency. Oh, glory to God. Tell somebody that we're a nation within a nation.
We're a nation within a nation.
Because I don't want to talk so much about this nation as the United States of America, oh glory to God, but I want to talk about the nation or the body of Christ. Come on somebody. I want to talk about a state of emergency. What state is our faith in? Amen, yes. Somebody. Oh glory to God. See, let me say this here. I'd say that we are in a state of crisis when the church is moved more by the news and by the government than God Almighty.
Yes.
I'm just going to, share some things that I wrote down. Oh, glory to God. We're moved more by the government. We're moved more by the news and what the news is saying than we are by God Almighty. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. We have become an echo for the world and not for God. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by an echo? Because, it's amazing that a lot of us are saying what the world is saying. We're saying that it's going to be like this forever. We're saying that it's not going to change. Come on, somebody. We're saying what the news is saying. We're saying that, this is it. This is how it is. This is the direction. Oh, glory to God. When God has given us the ability to legislate, come on, somebody. God has given us the ability to determine some things. And so why are we being an echo, oh glory to God, for the world? Why are we being an echo, come on somebody, oh glory to God? Why are we saying the same thing that the news is saying? Amen, somebody. Oh glory to God. And so, let me say this. Because I want to ask you, what is the state of your faith in God? Come on. Oh glory to God. Let me say this. I believe And I believe that I'm here today to let you know that I believe that God is calling for a state of emergency.
Yes.
But the thing about it is that God don't have to erect new policies. I believe that his policies or his word is already in place.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And so I believe that God is saying to us today to stop being an echo for the world and to say what the word of God is saying.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the book of Isaiah, the Bible lets us know, oh, glory to God. Turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 60 real quick. And we're going to come back there, but I just want to, you know, deviate for one hot moment here. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah 60. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says, arise, and we're going to verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now here's God, here's the Bible, and the prophet is prophesying, and he's saying, arise, shine, for thy light has come. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. God says that I'm light. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And so it's a picture of God's, it's a picture of God coming. Amen, somebody. It's a picture of God showing up.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. When the man of God, when the prophet says, for thy light has come, it's like saying God has come.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. God has come. As a matter of fact, can I say this here? Oh, glory to God. Because God has come, now you can get up. Because God has come. Oh, glory to God. Now we can get up because we were stuck. Come on. You couldn't tell the difference between the children of light and the children of darkness. But now that the light has come, now that the children of God, oh, glory to God.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Time to shine.
Oh, glory to God. Now we can get up.
Yes.
Now we can shine.
Yes.
We're reflectors. Come on. It's kind of like when you look up in the sky and you see the moon. The moon has no light. Come on. But the moon reflects the light of the sun. Come on.
Yes.
Glory to God. That's what we are. We are reflectors. Come on.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It ain't like that we shine, but because of God, we have the ability to shine and shine before the world.
Yes.
And so God is saying the light has come.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And he says, and the glory.
Yeah.
And the glory has come on. His weightiness. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. His weightiness. Oh, glory to God. See, what am I talking about when I'm talking about God's glory? I'm talking about his majesty.
Yes.
His abundance.
Yes.
His magnificence.
Yes.
His splendor.
Yes.
His power.
Yes.
In other words, all of this is showing up. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And God is saying, I'm putting it on you. Can I tell you something? This is why when the Bible says when sin abound, grace do much more. When sin abound, grace do much more. Oh, glory to God. I'll say it this way. Hallelujah. When sin look like it's getting more powerful, grace rises more. Grace is even more powerful. God counters the enemy.
Yes.
He's not going to let the devil outdo
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel my help coming off.
Yes.
I was working off a little bitty sleep. I mean a little bitty sleep. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so here's God. Here's God. He's saying, thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Yes.
And why is God rising upon us? He's rising upon us because of the darkness.
Yes.
He says the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness is people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. In other words, so God, can I say, let me just make it plain. God is putting more power upon his people. God is putting more of himself upon his people. Now, what are we doing with that power? What are we doing with that glory that God is rubbing and putting upon us? You know, when you look in the Bible says that they waxed great. The Bible spoke about people that God was putting his greatness upon, and the Bible would say they waxed great, or they became great. You know why they became great? Because God was rubbing greatness upon them. God was putting greatness upon them. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. So what God is doing, God is putting power on his people.
Yes.
The devil knows this.
Yes.
We can see the state of this nation.
Yes.
And then we can also see the state of the body of Christ.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. We're in a state of emergency. And so guess what? Because of this darkness, because of what the enemy is doing, God is releasing power to you. But what are we doing with the power?
Yes.
Because it seems to me that we're being a conduit, if that's the word I could use, a conduit for the enemy. Mm-hmm. And the enemy has us so afraid in the body of Christ, he knows that all I got to do is say something, and the people of the church, God's people, is going to say the same thing.
Yes.
Jesus.
And so what we're doing, come on somebody, we are aborting things because we're saying what the enemy is saying. We're having spiritual abortions. Do you know that your words affect the spirit realm?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe that we know that in the body of Christ. Because we're allowing everything to come out of our mouths. Come on, somebody. We're saying what the enemy is saying. Instead of being an echo for God and announcing what God is doing in the earth, we are announcing what hell is doing in the earth. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. But it looks like, oh, glory to God, we're more of a conduit to the enemy that we're saying, let what's in hell be done on the earth. The devil is a liar.
Amen.
The devil is a liar.
Yes.
What are we saying? What is God's people saying out of their mouths? Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Tell somebody, stop aborting.
Stop aborting.
Stop aborting things.
Stop aborting.
The Bible says, now faith.
No.
Oh, glory to God.
No,
what is your faith doing right now?
My God.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. What's happening with your faith right now?
Yes.
Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. What's the state of your faith?
Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory.
Well, we know somebody listens to their audio Bible. So the Bible says, now faith is the substance. Faith is substance. It's tangible. Come on. It can be felt. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Tell somebody it can be felt.
It can be felt.
It's physical. Mm-hmm. It's real. Oh, glory to God. When you look up the word substance, it means matter. Come on. And so it's something that can be felt. Hallelujah. You know, oh, glory to God, sometimes you start getting this feeling, hallelujah. We don't go so much by our natural feeling, but we start discerning, but I want to call it feeling. We start feeling like God is getting ready to move. Come on, somebody. That like God is getting ready to do something. And so the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Look at your neighbor and say, every person has a womb.
Every
man has a womb. Come on, somebody. You got a spiritual womb. Can I tell you something? Your hope is your womb.
Yes.
Expectancy. How many know that when you are when a woman is pregnant, people say, "Are you expecting?"
Yes.
They look at the woman and they see her stomach. I was just in a store this morning, and the lady told me, she said, "I'm pregnant. I'm 8 months pregnant." I don't believe that, and I didn't think she was pregnant, but she told me she was 8 months pregnant. I believe that God allowed that woman to tell me that she was 8 months pregnant for a reason.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. You know, all right. Let me show you something. Man of God, Bishop, can you come here for 1 second?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And I know there's times that we're praying and we're believing God for things. Can we see this on the camera? Can they see this on the camera? Oh, glory to God. That camera right there. Come over, son. Okay. All right. We want to do a little quick demonstration. Let me move this. Okay. And so, man of God, put this on your belly. You're pregnant. You're pregnant. Let everybody see that the man of God is pregnant. Oh, glory to God. And because he's been praying, and like many of us, we've been praying, and we're pregnant with expectation. Yes. We're believing God, come on,
yes,
to do some things. And we've been in faith, and we've walked in faith.
God
gives substance. See, can I tell you something? I had to give substance to my wife. Come on. Hallelujah. So that she could become pregnant. Amen, somebody. And so while the man of God has been in faith, he has been receiving substance.
Yes.
Not just anywhere, but in his in his womb, in his spiritual womb. Expectation. Somebody say he's expecting now.
Yes.
He's walking around and he's expecting God to do it. And the enemy has a tendency of whispering in our ears and say, you know, your wallet don't run that deep. You know, you only got so much money in your bank account.
Mm. Hallelujah.
The wonderful thing about God is that I love it when God challenges our faith minds. God, and because that's when, you know, when the enemy is start talking, you know you got him.
Yes, right.
And so he's talking that noise. Come on, somebody. Why? Because he wants you to
abort
your faith.
Yes.
He wants you to have a spiritual. Come back here, Bishop. He wants you to have a spiritual abortion.
Yes.
He wants you to begin to say what he said.
Yes.
Amen,
yes.
Somebody. He wants you to, he's whispering in your ear. He's whispering in your ear, and he wants you to say, you know, oh, I don't have the money to do this.
Yes.
And so when he says it in your ear, then you say it, well, I don't have the money to do this. Come on. And then guess what? You are aborting what it is that God is doing in your life.
Yes.
And so what we got going on in the body of Christ is that we have a lot of spiritual abortions going on. People are speaking and people are saying things in the spirit realm. They're an echo for the enemy instead of being an echo for God. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Oh, glory to God. And so let me show you something. And so when the enemy comes and he tries to get you to have a spiritual abortion, you got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to hold on. Come on, somebody. What God is saying. You got to be, I am not having an abortion today. I will not abort. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now guess what? He's coming.
But
you got to make up your mind that you are going to stand on the word of God. Amen, somebody.
Not this time.
We're giving birth to destiny.
Glory
to God. Glory
be to God.
He sees you pregnant.
Yes.
He sees you pregnant with expectation.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can I show you something? When a woman is pregnant, oh, glory to God, and she's expecting, hallelujah, she starts to shine. I believe that you start to shine.
Yes.
Come on. When a woman is pregnant with expectation, come on, she goes to the local Walmart and buys a crib. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
She starts preparing and buying diapers and straightens up the room. Come on, somebody. The devil ain't blind. Come on. The devil sees what's going on. The devil sees that you're in expectation.
Yes.
So he starts speaking in your ear.
Yes.
Yes.
Not this
Jesus.
Time.
Hallelujah.
Not this
Jesus.
Time.
Hallelujah.
No
expecting.
It says.
Yeah.
It says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
The evidence of things not seen. Because sometimes the only evidence you're going to have is your faith.
Yes. Your faith.
Ooh, glory to God. I'm telling you, when folks start speaking against your promises, when folks start speaking against what it is that God has spoken into your spirit, sometimes the only evidence, hallelujah, that you're going to have is your faith. Come on, you're going to look at your wallet. Come on, ain't nothing going to be in there. Your pocket, you can't put two pennies together. Call somebody. Oh, glory to God. But, hallelujah.
Faith said do it.
That's right.
Woo.
Oh,
glory to God.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God, I hear you. Not this time.
Oh, glory to God. Let's drop down. No, let's go to verse 2. For by it the elders obtain a good report. For by it, it's amazing that you brought that out, man. God, go to Luke chapter 18. Go to Luke chapter 18. I tell you, it's amazing because people were, the reason why all the people started looking at one another from victory is because when you begin to share about God testifying of individuals, it was amazing because I preached on that. I shared that with the people. And so when you said it dropped in your spirit, oh glory to God, and so anyways, it dropped in my spirit also. Hallelujah. And so go to let me say this here. Go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. And daughter, let me see. Well, I'll read it. Because I want to show you a few things here. The Bible says, and he spake this parable unto a certain who trusted. Because I was talking about genuine faith.
Yes.
Because I believe that sometimes in the body of Christ, we don't necessarily know what genuine faith is. We say that, I'm believing God, oh glory to God, for a new car as soon as I get my stimulus check. Well, you ain't believing God, oh glory to God, you're not believing God, you're believing in the stimulus check.
Yes.
And so sometimes we're walking around thinking that we have genuine faith. Come on. When you're really waiting on a raise on your job. Come on, somebody. You're waiting to get a job, but you're calling it faith in God when it's really not faith in God, because God can take nothing and give you something. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God, okay? All right.
Yes, God.
And so what is genuine faith? And so the Bible says that, and he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves. And so here's Christ. Christ got a multitude of people around him, but he wasn't talking to everybody. He was talking to a certain group of people who trusted what? In themselves. Because sometimes our faith is really in ourselves or in our ability and not in the ability of God. Come on. Oh, glory to God. And in themselves that they were righteous, oh glory to God, and we trusted our righteousness and not the righteousness of God. The Bible says, and despise others, because sometimes when we're walking in self-righteousness, it literally causes us to put down other folks.
Yes.
It causes us to put other people down.
Yes.
And so because genuine faith is faith that's in God. Can I tell you something? True, genuine faith releases the power of God. Tell somebody, it releases the power of God.
Yes.
And so the Bible says, verse 10, the two men went up into the temple to pray, and one was a Pharisee and the other was a publican, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. Okay, I want y'all to hear this. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself.
Yes.
God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So in other words, here this prayer is not even getting off the ground, is hitting the ceiling and coming back to him, because he's not praying to God, but the Bible declares that he's praying to himself.
In faith.
because this is a lot, I believe a lot of the body of Christ is in this state. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Well, we think that we're praying to God, but we're really praying to ourselves. We have more trust in our righteousness than the righteousness of God. It's amazing because one day I was talking to a young lady and she said, I have great faith. Now, if you're going to walk around and proclaim that you have great faith, come on, you better have some proof to go with it.
Yes.
Show me the beef. Oh, glory to God. Because guess what? If God ain't testifying about your faith, come on. This is why I love verse 1 through verse 8, because there was a widow woman, come on, and she kept troubling the judge, and she stayed in that judge's face. She kept on knocking on that judge's door. Oh, glory to God. And so it caused the judge to say something. He said, let's go to verse 4. Let's go to verse 4. As a matter of fact, go to verse 5. Yet because the widow troubleth me, and this is what the judge is saying, I will avenge her, lest by continual coming she wearies me. And then verse 6 says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Come on. Because can I tell you something? Just like this man is a judge, God was a judge.
Yes.
The only thing is that God is not unjust. The Bible says that he was also not a respecter of persons. Well, can I tell you something? God is not a respecter of persons also, but God is a respecter of faith. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
And so God honors faith. Come on.
Yes.
God moves over faith. And so sometimes because we're walking in faith, it almost makes it seem like God is a respecter of persons. But can I say this here? God will for all to be saved and that none should be lost.
Amen.
He allows it to rain on the just as well as the unjust.
Amen.
Come on. He's not a respecter of persons, but he's a respecter of faith.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. What is the state of your faith? Amen, somebody. What is the state of your faith? And so Jesus puts the brakes on in the middle of this parable.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is VIPMinistries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In her new book, author and apologist Elisa Childers targets the lies that so often masquerade as cultural proverbs today. The book's called Live Your Truth and Other Lies, exposing popular deceptions that make us anxious, exhausted, and self-obsessed. Childers offers just what that title promises. She exposes the bad ideas that are at the center of so many of the slogans that we hear all of the time today. Our culture, writes Childers, is brimming with slogans that promise peace, fulfillment, freedom, empowerment, and hope. These messages have become such an integral component of our American consciousness that many people don't even think to question them. Problem is, they're lies. In fact, Childers argues, slogans like, you are enough, authenticity is everything, put yourself first, it's all about love, God just wants you to be happy. These are things that commonly redefine words, words like love and hate and God and happy. What's left then is a modern day, what she calls Tower of Babel, only spelled B-A-B-B-L-E. It's a situation where those with the most social media followers are then granted authority and assumed to have the expertise about life and how to live it. At the root of the most destructive slogans is a particular view of the self. For example, Childers cites Glennon Doyle, whose New York Times number one bestseller, Untamed, centers around her own decision to leave her husband for a woman that she saw at a local zoo, all while quoting Carl Jung, "There is no greater burden on a child than the unlived life of a parent." In other words, make yourself happy. Elisa compares Doyle's story with that of Elizabeth Elliot, the missionary so famous for bringing the gospel back to the same, while Donnie People, who killed her husband Jim. With a toddler in tow, Elliot lived among the village for 2 years before then returning to the U.S., where she spoke and wrote and appeared publicly with some of the men who had actually killed her husband, who had then become dedicated followers of Jesus. Here's Childers, quote, "Elizabeth Elliot laid hold of deeper strength. She rejected the urge to defy God's word or redefine his holiness. How did she do it? Well, she once wrote, quote, the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances." While Childers openly admits to struggling with these kinds of ideas in these slogans, including what it means to be truly authentic, especially during her time as a popular and successful Christian musician. Here's Childers. Quote, "A therapist I began seeing toward the end of Zoe Girl's run, who had the wisdom of Solomon and the patience of Job, looked at me intently and gently asked, what if you got throat cancer and could never sing again? I was dumbstruck, she said. She stumped me. After all, I was made to sing. And if I